Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyrant Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. You know, I wake up this morning, I go through my early morning routine. You know, I roll over, I check my phone, I look at my bank account, see how much money I got, see if, you know, everything's still there, the right amount of money. I check my messages, my notifications to see if everyone's still alive, to make sure everyone's all good and everything. And I scroll down my notifications, and as I do that this morning, what's the first thing that I see? The very first notification as I arise and awaken out of my slumber. What is the first thing I see this morning after checking my bank account and my messages? Cameron Newton. The guy who was QB number one for the New England Patriots has been released. Cam Newton, 2015 NFL League MVP, led the Carolina Panthers to a 15-1 record, taking them all the way to Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara, California, Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers, getting beaten 24-10 by the Denver Broncos. Superstar NFL quarterback Cam Newton has been released from the New England Patriots. NFL Network told me this. ESPN told me this. CBS told me this. Multiple different news outlets told me this. So therefore, it must be true if more than one person is saying it. That's my general rule of thumb. Then I get on Facebook and I scroll down my news feed. And what do I see everyone talking about? Cam Newton has been released by the New England Patriots. Ain't that about a bitch? But if I were to say I was surprised by this, I'd be lying. And we don't lie over here on the Dion Gordon Podcast. Over here, we practice authenticity, sincerity, and telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Trustworthiness means something to me. Integrity means something to me. And it means a lot to me on this podcast. I do not lie. When I saw this notification first thing in this morning, I was not surprised. I've been forecasting this. I saw this coming. I was able to read the tea leaves. I saw the writing on the wall. I knew that one day, soon, but very soon, sooner rather than later, Michael McCorkle Jones, a.k.a. Mac Jones, was going to supplant Cam Newton as QB1 on the New England Patriots. I saw the writing on the wall. From the moment he was drafted, from the way he power walked up to the stage in that sky blue suit, that Homer Simpson Church Sunday suit that he had on, the way he aggressively grabbed that draft day hat, all the talk, all the hype, knowing what I know about the New England Patriots, I knew this was only a matter of time. Knowing what I know about most people who live in that part of the country and their ideals and their sensibilities and what they want to see and what they don't want to see, I knew Cam Newton's days as starting quarterback of the New England Patriots were numbered. This is a guy who got picked up by this team a year ago, couldn't find a team, down on his luck, was let go by the Carolina Panthers. Nobody wanted to bring in Cam Newton. The Patriots brought him in about a month before the season started. The Patriots are known and notoriously known for having a complicated and complex playbook, difficult to learn, master, and understand. Cam Newton was able to come in last year. They tailored their playbook and what they like to do to his skill set, implemented a lot of running plays into what they normally do, quarterback design runs, read options, things of that ilk. And Cam Newton was able to play decent, pretty good football for the first couple of games for the Patriots last year. Then he goes on the COVID list, comes back, was never the same, not to mention the fact that he was surrounded by absolutely nothing in New England. His best targets were Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski, Demir Byrd, first-round bust N'Keal Harry, and an old, decrepit, slow, injury-riddled, past his prime Julian Edelman. What I'm trying to say is Cam Newton didn't have a whole lot of help last season. But he was scapegoated. He was the guy to blame. Point the finger at Cam Newton for the ineptitude of the New England Patriot offense last year. Never mind the fact that he didn't have good people around him and he was asked to turn chicken shit into chicken salad. Never mind all that. Let's just point the finger at him and blame him. Cam Newton sucks. Can't play football anymore. Now, admittedly, yes, he has regressed since that MVP season. He is not the player that he was in 2015. Injuries have slowed him down. And his arm is not what it used to be. He doesn't run as fast anymore. That physical style of football has taken a toll on him. It's beaten him down over the years. He's 32. He might as well be 40. He is not the player that he used to be. I will admit that. I will say that with no apologies and no remorse. Cam Newton in 2021 is not what Cam Newton was in 2015. That is a fact. That is what it is. Injuries and age have ravaged him and taken a toll on him and have rendered him of the supreme talent that he had 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. He is not the guy that he once was. But he's still, I think, a solid NFL quarterback. I think he still deserves a place on someone's NFL football team. He came back this year in the preseason and appeared to be taking a step forward. All you had to do is go back about a week ago to a preseason game versus the Philadelphia Eagles, where Cam Newton was 8 of 9, 103 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. That sounds pretty good to me. And that's going up against the first-team starters for the Philadelphia Eagles defense. Mac Jones came in, had success in his own right, albeit versus the second- and third-string guys. But Mac Jones has lit it up all camp. He had a practice versus the New York Giants where he completed 18 consecutive passes. He's been outstanding in the Washington game, the second game versus Philadelphia, and the third game versus the Giants. He's been awesome all over the preseason. It's between him and Zach Wilson in regards to who's been the best rookie quarterback this preseason. They've played at a high level. Zach Wilson for the Jets has been incredible. Mac Jones for the New England Patriots has been equally as incredible. So he's played well. And I said this on the previous podcast when I talked about Mac Jones potentially being the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, where so many 49er fans were ready to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and the mass suicide if Mac Jones were to pick for the San Francisco 49ers. I was the one person saying, I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world. As a matter of fact, I think this guy can play. I think he's a good quarterback, a very good prospect. I had him fourth in my quarterback rankings as far as first-round quarterbacks were taken this year. Fourth behind my guy, Trey Lance. Second will be Jacksonville's quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. And the number one quarterback, I think, coming into this draft, and the number one quarterback who's going to come out of this draft is Zach Wilson, quarterback from the New York Jets. I made a previous podcast about him about a year ago. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but beep, beep. I told people, I put people on to the magic of Zach Wilson and how good he is. And you're seeing it right now in the preseason. I'm firmly confident. I firmly believe it's going to carry over into the regular season. I think Zach Wilson is going to be awesome. But back to the Patriots quarterback situation. I've had good things, nothing but good things to say about Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones can play. I think he anticipates pressure well. I think he reads coverages well. He processes information well. He's accurate with the football. Not the most elusive quarterback in the pocket. He did get sacked 4 times the other night versus the Giants. Maneuverability is not the best thing he does. But overall, I think he's a good NFL quarterback, a good prospect. I think he's going to have success, especially playing for the Patriots and playing in that system and the way they like to play football. And with the additions that they brought in with Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, they're going to run a lot of 22 personnel, 12 personnel this year. They're going to have 2 tight ends on the field as much as possible. On the outside, you got guys like Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, along with Jakobi Meyers, who was the only target Cam Newton really had last year. There's no doubt that this is a much better Patriot football team than a year ago. On offense and on defense, they brought in Matt Judon from the Baltimore Ravens. They got Dante Hightower coming back after he opted out from last season. They also re-signed Kyle Van Noy. My point is they've upgraded the football team on both sides of the ball. So that's why I take a little bit of exception with Cam Newton being let go when he's not given the opportunity to come back and play for this football team when the team has been upgraded on both sides of the football. The team last year, the defense was pretty good last year, but the offense, like I said earlier, wasn't that great. The skill position players were lacking in almost every capacity last year, and that's what Cam Newton had to play with. So now when you upgrade the football team, you get rid of him. So to me, it just comes across as kind of bullshit because Cam Newton got 1 year to play with the Patriots, and he had to come in and learn the system very quickly, and he played with a deficient talent roster. And as soon as you upgrade the roster, you want to hand it over to a rookie and allow him to get the opportunity to play with these better football players so he can hit the ground running. But this dude who was on your team last year when your team was in rebuilding mode, he was pretty much a sacrificial lamb. He was a scapegoat for all the problems that the Patriots had last year. So that's my only real problem with Cam Newton being released. You're looking around the rest of the NFL. You look at elite quarterbacks in the NFL. They all have elite players, at least one elite player, at the skill positions as a teammate to help them out and make them look better than what they actually might be or to boost them up and increase their level of production. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't hurt that he's throwing to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Aaron Rodgers won league MVP. Part of the reason he won league MVP is because he was throwing to Davante Adams. Josh Allen took a step last year as quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. A major reason for him taking that next step last year was the acquisition of Stephon Diggs from the Minnesota Vikings. Stephon Diggs is a top three receiver in the National Football League. Russell Wilson, in my opinion, one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Put up major numbers last year, threw for over 40 touchdown passes last season. A major reason for that, a significant reason for that, was having DK Metcalf on one side and Tyler Lockett on the other side. Cam Newton's predecessor in New England, the greatest quarterback of all time, the GOAT, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, threw 24 touchdown passes his last year playing for the New England Patriots. He was also surrounded by a deficient amount of weapons his last year with the Patriots. He only threw 24 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions in 2019, 4,057 yards passing. He leaves New England, goes to Tampa last year, throws for 40 touchdown passes and 4,633 yards last season playing with the Buccaneers, playing with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, Antonio Brown, Cameron Brate, and Rob Gronkowski. He had weapons last year in Tampa Bay, and look at the numbers that he put up. Look at the production that he put up. Compared to what he did his last year with New England, when they had nothing to throw to and nothing at the skill position. Cam Newton came into the exact same situation last year and was surrounded by an abysmal core of wide receivers and took the blame for the Patriots' offensive failure last year. And personally, I think that's bullshit. Why is there no conversation about Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator? Or better yet, why is there no conversation about Bill Belichick's poor record in the NFL draft over the past 4 years? Let's go down the list. Let's name some names of the players that have been selected by the New England Patriots in the past, let's say, 3 years of the NFL draft. 2018 first-round selection, Isaiah Wynn, offensive lineman from the University of Georgia, tore his Achilles in his rookie season and hasn't been very good since. He's been a disappointment. He's underperformed. He's been underwhelming. He's been awful, even extending into this preseason. You go back to that first preseason game versus the Washington football team. He got obliterated by Chase Young on the edge rush, allowing Chase Young to get to Cam Newton and get a strip sack fumble. His second round pick, actually the second pick of that draft, also in round one, Sony Michel, running back from the University of Georgia, recently traded to the LA Rams, no longer on the football team after only being there for 3 years. Duke Dawson, defensive back from the University of Florida. Moving on, Juwan Bentley, linebacker from Purdue, Christian Sam from Arizona State, Braxton Berrios, wide receiver from Miami, from the U, who is currently playing for division rival New York Jets, and Danny Etling, quarterback from LSU. Not a very good draft. Let's move on to 2019. First round pick, pick number 32 in that draft. Patriots were fresh off a victory in Super Bowl 53, so they had the 32nd pick in this draft, and with their 32nd pick, the New England Patriots selected N'Keal Harry, wide receiver from Arizona State. Needless to say, this has been a disappointing draft pick so far. N'Keal Harry really hasn't landed on his feet yet with the Patriots, has yet to make an impact, hasn't been very good, has been underwhelming and disappointing. You can call him a bust. I personally wouldn't go there with him, but N'Keal Harry hasn't been good. For a first-round draft pick, you have high expectations for a guy like that to come in and boost your receiving core overnight. N'Keal Harry hasn't done that. He's shown flashes here and there. He had a pretty good regular season game versus Kansas City, I want to say, in 2019. Other than that, I haven't seen much from N'Keal Harry. He's been a disappointment. The second pick in that draft, round two, Juwan Williams, defensive back from Vanderbilt, so far also been disappointing. Edge rusher, Chase Winovich from the University of Michigan. Chase Winovich has been pretty good. Same thing with their other third-round pick, pick number 87, Damian Harris from the University of Alabama Crimson Tide. Damian Harris was pretty good last year for the Patriots. Belichick, of course, worked alongside Nick Saban. He was Nick Saban's boss when Saban was a defensive coordinator and assistant coach for the Cleveland Browns in the mid-90s. And ever since then, Belichick has made it a habit to take players that were previously coached by Nick Saban in college. This goes back to the year 2000, where he took Greg Randall from Michigan State back when Saban was coaching over there. He's also selected Jarvis Green from LSU when Saban was a coach with Louisiana State University. Rohan Davey, quarterback from LSU. Marquise Hill from LSU. Brandon Dietrich from Alabama. Dante Hightower from Alabama. Xavier Dixon, Cyrus Jones, Damian Harris, Anthony Jennings, and now Michael McCorkle, Mac Jones. And also Christian Barmore from Alabama. So that actually makes 12 players that Belichick has taken in the draft that were formerly coached by Nick Saban. those two guys are good friends. There's a certain level of trust that both men have with each other, and certainly Belichick has a healthy amount of respect for Coach Saban. That's why he keeps taking a lot of his former players. In that 2019 draft, he also selected Byron Cowart, Jared Stidham, quarterback from the University of Auburn, Hjalte Frohoth, Yanni Kahoost. Both of those names sound like menu items at Starbucks. I've never even heard of both of those players. Who else did he take in that draft? Jake Bailey, a punter from Stanford. Ken Webster, defensive back from University of Mississippi. So other than Winovich and Damian Harris, that 2019 draft so far from New England is fucking terrible. Moving on to 2020, it gets even worse. And the words are sticky fingers. But wait, it gets worse. Not wanted down, but I'm dying of thirst. The second round pick. They didn't have a first round pick in 2020. The first pick was in the second round, pick number 37, Kyle Duggar from Lenoir Rhyne. Edge rusher Josh Uche from Michigan, another second round pick. The aforementioned Anthony Jennings from Alabama, a third round pick. Tight end Devin Asisi from UCLA, another third round pick. Another third round pick, Dalton Keene, Virginia Tech. Fifth round pick, Justin Ruhrwasser, a place kicker from Marshall. Fifth round pick, guard Michael Unwenu from Michigan. Sixth round pick, offensive tackle Justin Heron from Wake Forest. Sixth round pick, Kasah Malua from Wyoming. Seventh round pick, Dustin Woodard from Memphis. This draft was the shits, the drizzling shits. This draft sucked. So that bears the question. I know Bill Belichick is a six-time Super Bowl champion head coach, but Tom Brady left that team last year, went down to Tampa Bay, and his first season playing quarterback for the Buccaneers led them to a Super Bowl. So no doubt the heat is on. The pressure is on Bill Belichick. Brady got his foot on Belichick's neck right now. Who gets all the credit for that Patriot dynasty from 2001 and 2020? Is it the coach Bill Belichick, the quarterback, the player, Tom Brady? So far, Tom Brady gets the credit for that. Yeah, a lot of great players in New England over the years come and go. But the one man who remained constant was Tom Brady. So in between the Willie McGinnises and Teddy Bruschis and Mike Vrabels and Ted Johnsons and Corey Dillons and James Whites and Julian Edelmans and Danny Woodheads and Randy Mosses and the Chris Hogans and the Rob Gronkowski and the Aaron Hernandezes and Vince Wilfork and Richard Seymour, in between all of those great football players I just named, the one man who remained constant, the one guy who was there year in and year out, was Tom Brady. So who really gets the credit? Who do we attribute the success in New England to, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? You don't think Belichick feels that on a daily basis? You don't think Belichick is thinking about that? How so many people now are giving credit to Tom Brady? Oh, by the way, we'll be stopping by his old stomping grounds, week four of this 2021 NFL football season, Sunday Night Football, your defending NFL world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers pay a visit to Foxborough, Massachusetts for a game versus the New England Patriots. If the Buccaneers win that game, Brady would have beaten all 32 teams in the NFL. Obviously, he couldn't beat the Patriots because he played there for 20 years. But he's beaten the other 31 teams in the NFL and his opportunity to beat all 32 week four in Foxborough, NBC, Sunday Night Football, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, etc. You don't think Bill Belichick thinks about this? This is why they enlisted the reinforcements in the offseason. This is why they upgraded in the cavalry and the infantry with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and Matt Judon and Kendrick Bourne. This is why they made this team better in the offseason, because the heat is on in New England. Bill Belichick got to prove himself. And with these terrible NFL drafts he's had the past couple years, he's the one, he gets the final say. He gets final decision. The buck stops with Bill in New England. Nothing happens until Bill Belichick says it could happen. He is the greatest coach of all time in pro football. He's been in the NFL for 47 years. He started out as a defensive special teams coach, a defensive coordinator back in the mid-70s with the Baltimore Colts, then landed in New York with the Giants, longtime legendary defensive coordinator over there, head coach with the Cleveland Browns, had a cup of coffee with the New York Jets, didn't want to be there. Came to New England in 2000, went 5-11 his first year. 2001 is off to an 0-2 start. Drew Bledsoe scrambling out of bounds, gets hit by Mo Lewis. Punctured lung, collapsed lung, wherever the fuck it was. Internal organs, bodily damage done to Drew Bledsoe after that vicious hit from Mo Lewis. A young, unknown, sixth-round draft pick, pick one number 198 in the 2000 draft. some dude. The owner didn't even know his name. He called him Tim Brady, but his real name is Tom Brady. He comes in out of relative anonymity and leads this team to a Super Bowl championship in 2001, one of the more unlikely Super Bowl titles in the history of pro football in the Super Bowl era. And the rest is history. And they go on to win five more after that. But the question now is, who gets credit for that? Is it Brady or is it Belichick? And off the strength that the Patriots were 5-11 the year before Brady took over as quarterback, and with the way the team looked last season and the offensive futility that they had last year, and with the recent terrible drafts this team has had, all been engineered by Bill Belichick, who really gets the credit in New England? Is it Tom Brady or is it Bill Belichick? That's a legitimate question. So feeling that heat, feeling that pressure, what do the Patriots do? With the 15th pick in this year's NFL draft, they select Michael McCorkle Jones, quarterback from the University of Alabama, who fits the mold of the prototypical quarterback they like to have in New England. Cam Newton does not fit that mold. Mac Jones does. Traditional drop-back quarterback under center. You trust him to make smart decisions, to process information quickly, to distribute the football to players very quickly within 3 seconds, get the ball out of his hands, move the chains, make the smart, accurate throw, and keep the offense on schedule. Cam Newton has never been that type of quarterback. Cam Newton's never been known for his precision, for his accuracy, for keeping things on schedule all the time. Cam Newton's been known for big playability, running the football, taking shots downfield, having a big, strong, powerful arm, and that doesn't really jive with the way New England wants to play football. By bringing in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, like I said earlier, expect to see a lot of two tight end sets with the Patriots this year. They're going to go back to basics. They're going to play smash-mouth football, the kind of football they played in the early 2000s when they were able to win 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. They're going to line up. They're going to run the football. They're going to punch you in the mouth. And they're going to play physical north-south football. The Patriots aren't fucking around this year, and all they need is a quarterback to make smart decisions, put the football where it's supposed to go, to hit the right, correct route. Timing, rhythm, and precision is all they need from Mac Jones. It's not about making the big play. It's not about being a Superman out there like Cam Newton is. It's about making the correct play, being smart, accurate, and decisive with the football, and staying on schedule. So that's why they decided to go. That's one reason they decided to go with Mac Jones. The other reason they decided to go with Mac Jones over Cam Newton and release Cam Newton is because Cam Newton is not vaccinated and refuses to get vaccinated. Obviously, unless you've been in a coma for the past 2 years or living under a rock, you know we're currently living under COVID-19. The pandemic is still running rampant, and the NFL is taking it very seriously this year, where they're pretty much mandating that every player get vaccinated, even going as far as to say that if you don't have enough players to play in a game in a particular week, because of COVID-related issues, you're going to forfeit the games to the other team. So this should be taken seriously this year. Cam Newton is not vaccinated, and a COVID-related incident may have played a role in pushing him off the Patriots roster. Cam Newton missed 5 days of practice last week with what he and the team called a misunderstanding of the NFL's COVID protocols. He had gone to an approved off-site medical appointment, and while he was tested for COVID on the day of his appointment, he didn't get tested at the Patriots facility. That was a violation of the league's COVID protocols. At the time, NFL Network's Mike Giardi had pointed out that this had caused a level of frustration for the team. This gave Mac Jones a chance to stake his claim at the starting job. When he was asked by reporters about his vaccination status, Cam Newton said, quote, "I think it's too personal for each and every person to kind of discuss it, and I'll just keep it at that." To me, that's the biggest reason why he's no longer there. I don't think it's about his play or his ability. I think it's simply due to the fact that Cam Newton won't get vaccinated. As it stands right now, 91.7% of all NFL players are currently vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated and you come in close contact with someone who has COVID, you got to be out for 5 days, as Cam Newton was last week. I don't think Belichick's trying to fuck around and have an issue like that this season. He had an issue like that last season with Cam Newton, where he had to miss a game versus Kansas City. He had to play Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham, and they lost that football game. I don't think, based off everything I just said prior to this, about feeling the heat and the pressure from Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl in Tampa, putting pressure on Bill Belichick to prove that he is the evil genius, that he is the greatest coach of all time, that he is the greatest offensive, defensive, special teams football mind, period, in the history of pro football, to satisfy and satiate his ego in the battle versus him and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick is coming into this season thinking, I got to win. I got to at least win my division and make the playoffs, put together an 11, 12, 13 win team and go far in the AFC playoffs at the very least. With a rookie quarterback, Super Bowl might be outside the grasp, but you can at least get to the playoffs with Mac Jones as long as you play a certain style of football. Don't allow him to throw the ball too often, play action, 22 personnel, everything I've already said. So because of all that, and because Cam Newton won't get vaccinated, that's why he's not on the team this year, in my opinion. It's not about his play. It's not about the fact that he might have fallen off. He has fallen off since 2015, but he's still a credible enough quarterback to play the NFL, to start for most teams. It's just due to the fact that he's unreliable. And part of that is on him and just not adhering to the NFL's COVID-19 protocol. You're the starting quarterback. You're the CEO. You're the face of the franchise. The team needs you on the field. As the great Herman Edwards once said, the greatest ability a player can have is availability. And if you find yourself on the COVID-19 list, for whatever reason, you came in close contact with someone, you are now unavailable to play on Sunday, and now we have to go with a lesser option. So to avoid that headache and to avoid that distraction that Cam Newton might bring with his vaccination status, I think Bill Belichick decided I'm just going to cut bait and move on, wish him the best in his future endeavors, and make the decision that the future is now. Mac Jones is QB1 for the New England Patriots. It's either the Patriot way or it's no way. This is a team that's let go of players for being late to practice, for not answering their alarm clock. This is a team that let go of Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, after about 8 or 9 games. Belichick doesn't fuck around. They released Lawyer Malloy before the start of the 2003 season. That pissed off the entire team. Lawyer Malloy was a really good, great, fantastic football player for the Patriots during that first run of their first dynasty in 2003. And they go out. Lawyer Malloy signs with the Buffalo Bills. They lose that first game of the season, the Patriots do, to the Buffalo Bills, 31-0. And at that time, it looked like a terrible decision to let go of Lawyer Malloy. It appeared to split the locker room in half and pissed off a lot of people. Tom Brady and Lawyer Malloy are good friends with each other. It pissed off Brady that Lawyer Malloy was let go before the season started. But what did the Patriots do in 2003? They won the Super Bowl anyway. They went to and they won their second Super Bowl in franchise history, beating the Carolina Panthers 32-29. So Belichick, this is not unprecedented. This is what they do in New England. They don't fuck around. They make quick, decisive decisions. If they come to a point where they realize they don't want you anymore, they consider you a detriment, a distraction, then you got to go. No matter who you are, no matter what your name is, Cam Newton is no different. It's unfortunate. I'm a Cam Newton fan. I root for the brother. I'm not going to downgrade him and denigrate him like so many people are doing today. I find it funny how so many people who are anti-vax are ridiculing and criticizing Cam Newton for not wanting to get the vaccine. He's on your side. You should be standing lockstep with him. You don't want to get the vaccine either. He doesn't want to get it. These are the same people that cry, bitch, and moan, get their panties in a bunch about being told they have to wear a mask to go into a grocery store or wherever, about this is infringing upon their rights. This is taking away their liberties. They don't want to be told they got to wear a mask. They don't want to be told they have to get vaccinated to keep their job. They feel that way about their job, but this brother just lost his job because he didn't want to get vaccinated, and they mock and ridicule him. It is such bullshit. Let's just be honest about it. The average Patriot fan didn't want Cam Newton to be their quarterback anyway. I said this before many times on the podcast. I served 4 years in the United States Navy. I met a lot of people in the Navy from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different parts of the country, different cities, towns, and states all over the United States of America. And there was one guy I met in the Navy from the great state of Massachusetts. And me and this guy were talking, and, you know, he just says to me, you know what, I don't think you would like Boston that much. Because I was telling him, you know, I like the Boston Red Sox. And I was telling him about Boston's a place I've never been to before. I kind of always wanted to go to Boston. And this guy flat out told me, I don't think you would like Boston. I said, why is that? I kind of knew what he was hitting at. I just wanted to hear him say it. So I said, well, why is that? He said, well, you know. And I was like, yeah, so what are you trying to say? And he was like, well, you know, people like you don't really have a good time in Boston because the average person in Boston doesn't like people who look like you. I was like, just go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and just be, you know, forthcoming and upfront about it. Just say, you know, people in Boston are racist and don't like black people. And he laughed. And he was like, yeah. He's like, do you know what we call black people in Boston? I said, no, I've never been to Boston. He says, Mondays. I said, Mondays? I said, what the fuck does that mean? He said, no one likes Monday. I laughed. It was funny. It was legitimately funny. I can't, if it's funny, I'm going to laugh. But at the same time, I was like, damn, that's fucked up. That's a brand new racial slur I never heard before. I've heard every other racial slur under the sun. The N-word, Jigaboo, Porch Monkey, Sambo, Cold Bucket, Midnight, Ace of Spades, so on and so forth. I never heard Monday before. That's a piece of advice. That's a heads up for any black person listening to this. If you find yourself in Boston, Massachusetts, and you walk into a cafe, and someone looks at you with a disapproving look and says, oh, fuck, another Monday just walked in the door. They're talking about you. So I say all that to say this. I don't think the average New England Patriot fan in Foxborough, Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts, in the greater New England area, Vermont, New Hampshire, whatever, Connecticut, I don't think any New England Patriot fan really wanted Cam Newton to be their quarterback. First and foremost, I don't envy Cam Newton at all, especially last season. He had the task of trying to fill the shoes of the greatest quarterback of all time. So you got that going against you. And you're a black man playing quarterback for the New England Patriots. It's a good thing for Cam Newton last year that they played in front of empty stadiums in Foxborough. There were no fans at all at Gillette Stadium. Because if there were, Cam Newton would have been called every racial slur in the book. Everything I just said and then some. He'd have been called all types of N-words. Every incomplete pass. Every pick. Every fumble. Every delay of game. Everything that the fans thought was his fault. Cam Newton in Boston, in Foxborough, in Gillette Stadium, playing in front of Patriot fans, probably would have been called every racial slur in the book. Let's just be honest about what we're talking about. Rohan Davey, the aforementioned Rohan Davey, and Jacoby Brissett are the only two black quarterbacks I've ever seen playing for the New England Patriots, ever. And they were both backups. They were never starters. They had he never started a game. Jacoby Brissett started one game for the Patriots in 2016, one or two games, actually. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, surprise, surprise, filling in for Tom Brady when he was ridiculously, foolishly suspended for the first four games of the season off that fraudulent Deflategate bullshit. And Garoppolo was supposed to start all four games, but in true Garoppolo fashion, he found a way to get hurt. So he only played two games, and Jacoby Brissett came in and played two more games, and then Brady came back, and they won a Super Bowl that year. But off the top of my head, to the best of my knowledge, Jacoby Brissett and Rohan Davey are the only two black quarterbacks I've ever seen or heard of playing for the Patriots until Cam Newton last year. So when Cam Newton struggles, it's a good thing for him there wasn't anyone in the stands to, I don't know, throw a banana peel at him and call him a monkey or some shit like that, get this Monday off the field, put Jarrett Stidham in the game. It's a good thing Cam Newton played in front of no people last year. I don't think Patriot fans really ever embraced him anyway. That first preseason game versus Washington, Mac Jones ran onto the field to a hero's welcome. You would have thought it was the second coming of Jesus Christ coming onto the field to play quarterback for the Patriots. You would have thought it was Tom Brady coming back to play quarterback for the Patriots. It was Mac Jones, a rookie who hasn't accomplished or proven anything in the NFL yet. But when he ran onto the field, he got a standing ovation. When Cam Newton came out, it was crickets. It was quieter than a mouse pissing on cotton when Cam Newton came out. When Mac Jones, it was like CM Punk coming to AEW. They chanted his name. There were grown men, it was probably grown men in the crowd crying. We got a white man at quarterback again. Let's celebrate with some clam chowder. Patriot fans didn't want Cam Newton. Let's just be honest about what we're talking about right now. I saw something earlier that said Mac Jones' jersey sold out in less than 2 hours after the news came out that Cam Newton was being released. Patriot fans never wanted him. They wanted Mac Jones the entire time. He's the people's choice up there. And they got what they wanted. And we'll see what happens. The question now for Cam Newton is, where does he go from here? Does he take a backup role? I don't think Cam Newton wants to be a backup. Or at least that's the reports I always keep hearing. Who knows how one-sided or biased those reports might be. But the talk I always keep hearing is that Cam Newton is going to be a starter or nothing else. With Cam on your team, you got to have a certain playbook, a certain offensive play caller, coordinator who can accentuate what Cam does and hide what he can't do, which ideally is how you would coach any quarterback in the league. But with Cam Newton, it's especially like that because, yes, he is limited. Like I said earlier, he's not a timing, rhythm, and precision-based quarterback. His arm isn't what it used to be. He still doesn't read defenses very well. He's still pretty limited. Cam's always had a propensity for being inaccurate and missing high. So that's why Carolina for so many years would draft tall, big receivers like Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin. both those guys are at least 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", because you have a quarterback who typically misses high, so you need a tall receiver to catch those high passes. Cam is who he is. He's 32. Like I said, beaten down by injuries over the years, a lot of surgeries, a lot of maintenance been done to his body. He's not what he was 5 or 6 years ago, but he's still a pretty decent, serviceable, credible NFL quarterback who can still have some kind of value to a team. The question is, where does he go? I think a good destination for him, if he's willing to take a backup role, I think Baltimore would be a great destination. You got Lamar Jackson, who's a running quarterback, quote-unquote. Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, former coordinator for the 49ers, put together an offense with Colin Kaepernick, now puts together an offense for Lamar Jackson. Cam Newton has always been known as a running quarterback, probably his best asset, honestly, his best attribute. So, and in the event that Lamar were to go down, you wouldn't have to change the offense too much to accommodate Cam Newton and have him as your starting quarterback. So that could be one possibility. The Washington Pro Football Team that plays in Landover, because of his connection to the current head coach of the Washington Football Team, Ron Rivera, who was Cam Newton's coach in Carolina. They have history with each other. And due to the fact that Cam Newton is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick or Taylor Heineke or whoever else the Washington Football Team has under contract to play quarterback for them this season, that's a real possibility. Now, that's whether or not Ron Rivera wants to work with Cam Newton again. Their relationship didn't end so well in Carolina together. Ron Rivera was fired. Cam Newton was let go. I don't know what the relationship is, but if Coach Rivera wants to bring in Cam Newton because of the familiarity with him and due to the fact that, like I said, he is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, but it's easier said than done because, like I said, with Cam, you got to run a certain style of offense. They've already been practicing a different style of offense throughout the OTAs and offseason and training camp and everything and preseason. Now you bring in Cam, who is a completely different skill set to Ryan Fitzpatrick. How do you fit that in? How do you make that work? I don't know. But it's something, it is worth thinking about. If the Washington Football Team wanted to bring another quarterback in, I would think it'd be Cam Newton just because of the history he has with Ron Rivera. Then again, I don't know. Another possible destination, this would obviously be a backup quarterback role, I would say Kansas City. Andy Reid is the best offensive play caller in the league, the best offensive mind, best offensive genius in the league, above guys like Kyle Shanahan and Sean Payton. The level of creativity that you've already seen with the Kansas City offense over the years has been remarkable. And you can bring in a guy like Cam Newton, like I said, obviously a backup because you already have the best quarterback in pro football on your team in Patrick Mahomes. But you bring in Cam Newton for some short yardage, goal line, red zone packages. It could be intriguing. It's something that could work. I think Andy Reid is the guy with the offensive creativity to make it work. But then you have to ask yourself the question, do I want to take Patrick Mahomes off the field? He's the best quarterback in the league. Do I want to put him on the bench for a play or two? He's the ultimate weapon. Just keep him on the field the entire time. So that's just a scenario I want to throw out. It's a possibility. I think Andy Reid could make it work. But like I said, do you want to take Mahomes out of the game for any circumstance? Mahomes is pretty mobile, too. He can also run and make some plays happen. I don't know, but it's a possibility. Something to think about. Entertain that. Cam Newton going to Kansas City. It's a possibility. Another possibility due to, once again, similar skill set, the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray is a quarterback. I think Cam Newton would be a serviceable backup to Kyler Murray if Cam Newton wants to be a backup. But Kyler Murray is a quarterback who's adept at running the football, making plays with his legs. They have designed runs for him in an offense. You could bring in a guy like Cam Newton, same thing, short yardage, goal line, red zone situations, trick plays, a different Cam Newton package that still correlates with what Arizona likes to do with that air raid system. I think Cam Newton could be a possibility for Arizona. I don't think it's preposterous to even say that. With Kyler Murray as the number one, Cam Newton backing him up, certain packages for Cam Newton to come into the game sporadically throughout the game, I think it could work. So Baltimore, Washington, Kansas City, Arizona, or Dallas, he could be the backup for Dak Prescott. We still don't know the injury situation with Dak Prescott. Coming off that catastrophic leg injury last season, now he has a bad shoulder. We don't know what the status of Dak Prescott is. Is he 100%? Where is he at physically right now? Nobody knows. Can he withstand a full 17-game season? He's been durable in the NFL up until last year. He played about 4 games, then he broke his ankle and was out for the rest of the season. But once again, do we know the physical injury status of Dak Prescott? Is he right now listed available to play week 1 on a Thursday night kickoff game versus Tampa Bay? But we just don't know. We didn't see Dak in the preseason at all. We saw a lot of Ben DiNucci throwing picks. I think if you're at Dallas, I think it's something worth talking about, something that you can certainly entertain. Do you want to have Ben DiNucci be your backup quarterback to Dak Prescott in the event that he gets hurt again? Or would you rather have Cam Newton? Same thing, you can design certain plays for Cam Newton. He does have experience being a starter. He's a former league MVP. I don't think this guy should just be pushed out the league the way so many people are joking around and advocating for all day. I think Cam Newton has a place in the National Football League. It's up to him as to whether or not he wants to play in the NFL in a backup capacity, because I think initially him being a starter is off the table at this point. If Cam does sign with another team, it's going to be in a backup role. And once again, does he want to be a backup quarterback? I don't know. Does Cam Newton have the personality to be a backup quarterback? I don't know. He's never been a backup in the NFL. This guy's been a star for the majority of his career playing football. He's a Heisman Trophy winner at the University of Auburn. He's a national champion at Auburn. He's a former league MVP, rookie of the year. He has a lot of accolades. Does a guy with Cam Newton's pedigree, who's accomplished what Cam Newton has accomplished, does a guy like that want to take a back seat and be a backup quarterback somewhere? And then you have to factor in Cam's vaccination status. Do other teams want to be bothered with the same thing? They might feel the same way Belichick feels. I don't want to be bothered with a backup quarterback who might be unavailable, who might be on the COVID list because he came in close contact with someone. Now he's out for 5 or 10 days. So in this upcoming game this week, I don't have a backup quarterback. So what happens when my starter goes down? I got to go to my third-string guy or emergency quarterback. That vaccination status is major this season. You already heard Urban Meyer come out this year and say that players' vaccination status was a direct influence in his decision-making in regards to keeping certain players in the team and letting certain players go, cutting down to the final 53. So every coach in the NFL is feeling that. They understand what time it is. COVID's not going anywhere anytime soon. The protocol is what it is, and the rules say in black and white, you must either get vaccinated or submit the frequent testing. Cam Newton didn't want to get vaccinated. Cam Newton didn't want to submit the frequent testing. He got let go. And that's just what it is. Once again, I don't think it's about merit or his level of play. I think it's about the vaccine and him not wanting to get it, not wanting to submit the frequent testing, and not coming to the Patriots facility to do the proper testing the way he was told to do. He wanted to do his own thing. And they let him go because in the New England Patriots system, the Patriot way, you cannot do your own thing. You're doing it Bill Belichick's way and the NFL's way and Robert Kraft's way. And that's the bottom line. So with Cam, it's an unfortunate situation. Like I said, I root for the brother. I want to see him do well. I want to see him do good things. I want to see him play in the NFL until he decides he doesn't want to play anymore. But honestly, I don't see Cam Newton being on anyone's NFL roster until he gets vaccinated, because it's too much of a distraction for your backup quarterback to have the pedigree that Cam Newton has with how liked he is around the league from other players, the potential distraction of if your starting quarterback is playing like shit and you're going to have a divided locker room with some guy saying, hey, we got Cam Newton on the team now. Put Cam in the game. This guy who's playing right now sucks. We got a former league MVP over here and we like him. So put Cam out there. Coaches don't want distraction. And on top of that, he refuses to get vaccinated or at least follow NFL COVID-19 protocol. It's a shitty situation. It sucks. I hate seeing it happen to a brother like Cam or any brother in particular. I would really hate to see this brother get forced out of the NFL at the age of 32. I think that would be a shame. However, at the same time, it's incumbent upon Cam Newton to get vaccinated. If you want to continue playing in the NFL, you got to get the shot. That just is what it is. That's coming down the pipeline at pretty much every job in America. Delta Airlines recently came out and said they're going to fine their employees $200 a month or every pay period for not getting the vaccine. And they're going to submit them to frequent testing, daily testing, until they get the vaccine. Every job in America is pretty much bullying people to get the vaccine. As a matter of fact, Delta Airlines is not alone in pretty much requiring people to get a vaccination to continue their employment with their company. Google, Disney, Facebook, Netflix, Walmart, Lyft, Tyson Foods, Jeffries, Morgan Stanley, Twitter, Uber, Union Square, Saks Fifth Avenue, and the Washington Post and Walgreens all now require their employees to be vaccinated. This is sweeping through America. If you want to retain employment, you're going to have to get vaccinated. It's coming down the pipeline sooner or later, whether you like it or not. And unfortunately for Cam Newton, he didn't want to get vaccinated, so now he's out of a job. That's his reality, and that's going to be the reality of a lot of people all across America. If Cam Newton wants to keep playing football, Cam Newton's going to have to get the shot. He's not Kirk Cousins. He's not Lamar Jackson, two other quarterbacks who were hesitant to get the shot, who have been very outspoken and vocal about getting about not getting the shot. Two quarterbacks who have spoken out about COVID-19. Lamar Jackson's been on the COVID-19 list more than once. Kirk Cousins has talked about walking around in a plastic bubble or some shit like that, kind of mocking the whole disease and everything and the severity and the realness of it. But frankly, Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson are both better than Cam Newton is, so they can have the stance that they have and still seek and still continue employment with their current teams because they're both better quarterbacks right now than Cam Newton is. Cam Newton is not going to get vaccinated, and frankly, he's not the quarterback he was 4 or 5 years ago. I just wish he had gotten an opportunity to play with this Patriot roster that was upgraded in the offseason. That's my biggest problem with this whole thing. It is what it is. We have reached the conclusion of this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Eternally grateful, always humble, very much appreciative. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.